Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Hey, this is Dirk Nowitzki, and you listen to the Mavs Step Back podcast.
Let me step back for a minute, tired of the gimmicks. See, we just focused on winning. Ball in the airline center, we about to get litty. Luka carrying a torch, Borden jumped up on the porch. How you reckon with his force? Third season in the game, and he a legend by his fourth. Look, after Dirk, now the king of Dallas. Airline serving as the palace. Young team, and it's full of talent. Want revenge, we accept the challenge. Luka carrying a legacy. What it take to be an MVP? Being great, no, it cost a fee. No, it really ain't that hard to see. Hold on, wait, silence the critics, cause they never did it. Pass Al Jordan, I ain't woke up the city. Map shooting hot like we straight out the chimney. Go back to Batman, I'm calling them Drizzy. More triple doubles, I'm waiting on 50. Step back smoother, you know it's so filthy. If I get down on my team, gonna lift me. Rep the map, step back, overcame the setbacks. Starting where we left at, know we gotta get back. Know we gotta get back. Rep the map, step back, overcame the setbacks. Starting where we left at, know we gotta get back. Like, know we gotta get back. Let me step back for a minute. Let me step back for a minute. Let me step back for a minute. Let me step back for a minute.
How's it going, everybody? Welcome in to another episode of the Mavs Step Back podcast. I'm your host, Dalton Trigg. And as always, I'm joined by my co-host and DallasBasketball.com colleague, Matt Galatson. Matt, are you staying warm in Houston? I mean, there's a lot of people that lost power, and you were one of them. And it seems that you finally got things in order there.
Yeah, got it back last night, overnight. I still don't have water, but I'm hoarding. I have water dripping out of my front sink, so I'm like hoarding water and buckets and pots for the toilet and stuff. So it's been bad.
It was a lot worse out there in Texas than what I thought it would be. It's been pretty bad in Mississippi, but not near as bad as you know, what's been happening out there. And then there was a second wave of it, I believe, too. So,
yeah,
just a mess.
They aren't prepared for the winter storm stuff. A lot of stuff's been coming out about it lately. But anyway, it's nice to have power back. It's nice to have heat and internet, especially, because now I don't have to stare at the ceiling all day. So, yeah, it's.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I had kind of, before all this happened, I kind of planned to do a pod after the Mavs played the Pistons. And, you know, they just traded for Dennis Smith Jr. and he was going to be playing against the Mavs again. And I'd actually talked to Dennis about potentially coming on here before that. game happened, and you know, then everything else happened. They postponed the game and all that, so it didn't work out. So I'm sad about that. But if all goes well, the Mavs should be playing the Houston Rockets on Friday night, and the Rockets have lost, I believe, 7 straight games. So hopefully that one will go different than the 133-108 loss they had against the Rockets at American Airlines Center when they didn't have John Wall or Oladipo or Christian Wood playing in that one. So I'm hoping it goes better than that. Mavs didn't have KP then. KP, you know, as inconsistent as he can be at times, Houston is one of those teams that he just destroys every time he plays against them. So if KP's playing, I feel pretty good about that one Friday. But overall, we're going to get into some stuff, especially with the Mavs G League prospects. They've been killing it since they've been assigned to their G League teams. They're not on the Texas Legends because they didn't go to the G League bubble. But before we get into all that, Matt, just where are you at with the Mavs right now? 13-15 on the season. I believe they're 10th in the West. They're a couple games out from being in the top 8. All things considered, where are you at here at the end of this first half of the NBA season schedule?
Well, I obviously am a little disappointed with the way things have gone early on, but I feel like they've been playing better the last few weeks, or a few weeks, couple weeks. I mean, obviously they have. They've won a few games here and there, and they went on a streak, but they seem to have figured a few things out, specifically Luka scoring a lot of points and carrying them to victories over bad teams. And they've been getting help from – it'll be KP one game, and then it'll be Tim Hardaway Jr. in the next game, and, you know, and back and forth. But, you know, I kind of like the direction it's heading. I still think that they need to fix some other things, inject some more life into the roster perhaps. But, you know, the schedule with Houston coming up, that favors them, and I feel a little bit better about that than, you know, than I did a couple weeks ago when they were, what were they, 8-13 or something yeah, like that.
8-13 was the low point.
Yeah, the sky was falling, and everybody was saying Josh Green was Justin Anderson, and Luka is terrible on some message boards, and trade KP. I mean, some of that stuff's still going on, but it seems like things are starting to stabilize a little bit.
Yeah, and I mean, as far as the Josh Green thing, and again, we're going to get into these guys being assigned to the G League, but when he was assigned to the G League the other day, he was assigned to Salt Lake City to play with Tyler Bay. You know, you had some people online saying like, ah, look at there. There goes Josh Green to the G League. That means he's not good. And then here I am sitting over here excited that he got sent to the G League because he's actually going to get to play. Yeah. And further develop instead of just sitting on the end of the bench on the varsity team. So I'm actually excited about it. And, it, you know, the way Tyler Bay and Tyrell Terry have been killing it so far in the G League, I have no doubt Josh Green's going to do the same thing. He's going to, you know, show flashes of what we know he can become. But just looking at this end of the first half schedule here, Matt, like I said, Mavs are 13-15, so they're 2 games under 500. They play at Houston unless that gets canceled or something tomorrow. We haven't heard anything about that being canceled yet. So they play at Houston. Then they play a back-to-back against the Grizzlies and the Celtics. That's going to be a tough back-to-back. Then they play the 76ers, which you'd think, you know, 76ers are the top team in the East, but for whatever reason, the Mavs are like – what the Suns are to the Mavs when it comes to the Sixers. They always play the Sixers pretty well. Then 2 days later, they'll play the star-studded Brooklyn Nets. KD and Kyrie's been out for them for a little bit, so we'll see how that goes. And then they finish it off with 2 games, one against the Orlando Magic and the other against the Oklahoma City Thunder. So with 7 games left and the Mavs 2 games under 500, where do you think they end up as far as the standings before this is over? I think they'll end up a game over 500 before it's over.
I think they'll probably be in about the same position. maybe 500, but I don't feel great about Brooklyn or Boston or Memphis. Philadelphia is kind of the one there where I'm back and forth on a little bit. Memphis, I think they can be better than Memphis for sure. It's just Memphis kind of scares me for whatever reason. They're just so Ja Morant.
Yeah.
But, you know, it'll be interesting to see. I still don't have full confidence that they are where they need to be. I need to see it against some better teams. And we're going to have that coming up. So right now I'll say one game below 500. But, you know,
well, I mean,
the last couple weeks, so
the way things have been trending, at the very least, you know, the Mavs should be over the getting completely embarrassed, you know, phase of their season, because I'm looking back at this. Let's see, they've won 5 of their last 7 games. And you look at the wins, one of the losses was that 31-point loss to the Warriors, which was just completely inexcusable. But you just look at the wins in that stretch: Atlanta, 6 points. Golden State, 2 points. Minnesota, 5 points. Atlanta, again, 1 point. Uh-oh.
No, go ahead.
Okay. Atlanta, again, 1 point. Then they finally had a comfortable win, a game that I wasn't able to watch, and I knew was going to happen when I wasn't able to watch it. They played New Orleans, and they won by 13, and they had a heartbreaking Valentine's Day loss, 3-point loss to the Portland Trailblazers. But they're more competitive now. You know, they've got their offense in order. Unfortunately, getting their offense in order has resulted in the defense completely plummeting. I mean, they've got – I haven't checked lately, but the last time I did check, they were bottom 5 in opponents' points per game. Mm-hmm. And I think they give up a little over 114 a game, and they score 114 a game. So that's not great. The problem is, Matt, I don't know how they fix the defense. It's kind of a give and take thing, because we've talked about before, you get the most out of KP when he's playing at the 5 offensively. But even then, he hasn't been consistent. So when you have him at the 5, you know, your defense is going to suffer a little bit more than if you have him at the 4 and put Maxey or Willie Cauley-Stein in there, like we saw. I think the last really good defensive game the Mavs had was that game where they held Charlotte to 93 points, and then things just went downhill from there. But it's kind of one of those things where you have to have him at the 5 if you want your offense to roll. But he's really, really hurting your defense when you have him there too. So I don't know what they need to do to fix this. I'm curious to see if you have any ideas on it, because it seems like a sticky situation.
There's really not much you can do as far as I'm concerned. I mean, unless he magically turns around his defense like he did sort of at the end of last season, you got to have him in there. I mean, he's your second best scorer. He's your second best player.
I'm wondering too, like, I wonder how much KP's lack of defense, I'm wondering how much that is magnified by the fact that Maxey Kleber hasn't been what he usually is on defense, you know, because since he came back from COVID, he's not the same defensively. And I think that probably magnifies KP's inabilities on that end.
I'm sure it does. But also, I think that because Maxey has been so bad on defense, you know, they don't have anybody else to fill Maxey's spot either. You know what I mean? So it's not just one guy that's bad on defense. It's two guys. So you basically have a barn door on defense. And that's killing them, but they don't have the personnel to fix it. I mean, the only thing to do, I mean, I know people probably think that we're annoying at some point because all we talk about is trades sometimes, but
it's one of our things. I mean, what can you say?
Well, yeah, I mean, but when you're 13 and 15, obviously you need to change something.
Yeah.
It's one thing if you're, you know, the Lakers or, you know, whoever's on top and I guess it's Utah right now. I mean,
oh yeah.
If you're first or second in the West, you don't talk about trades. But when you're below 500 and your team has some major issues, of course, that's what you're going to talk about, because that's what you need to talk. That's what your team needs. And I think that's what they need here. They need to trade for somebody who can solidify the middle for them, but they also need to figure out what they're doing on the perimeter, because Josh Richardson and Dorian Finney-Smith haven't been enough either.
Yeah.
So
you mentioned Utah. You mentioned Utah. I just want to chime in here quickly, but they've won 20 of their last 21 games. They are flaming hot.
Yeah, it's
I knew they'd be good. I didn't think they'd be near this good. It kind of, I tweeted about this a few weeks ago, but they may not win the title, but it sure does feel like this might be their year, as well-rounded as that roster is, as good as they've been. But
maybe they're the 2011 Mavs.
I mean, it feels like it, because the Mavs started out that season in a similar way until they had some injury issues. But, yeah, I mean, it's gotten to the point now to where, yes, all the COVID stuff greatly affected how the Mavs could have started this season. And you see things now where, like, the Mavs, even though they had four key guys out for a long period of time, they were still playing games because they had eight or more players available. Well, now you see the thing, like with San Antonio, with the Spurs, they have more than eight players available, but the NBA just postponed their next three or four games, I think. So you have a lot of people thinking, like, well, how's this fair? You know? So that's unfortunate. I'm sure they have their reasons for it, but at this point, there's been so many games past that, though, where you can kind of see, okay, what was COVID, what's actually some issues with the roster, that you do have to, you know, consider making a couple of moves. And the sooner the better, too, because, I mean, with a 72-game season and then you're out in the West, I was looking at the standings earlier, Matt, and it's like everybody in the West in that top eight has not let up, except for Denver. Denver's fallen down to the eight seed, surprisingly. But everybody else above them, 8-2 in their last 10, 7-3 in their last 10. You know, it's just relentless. They're not letting up. And the Mavs, they're going to have to do something. They're going to have to go on a big run if they want to not just get in the playoffs, but if they want to get higher than that 7 or 8 seed and potentially get trounced by the Lakers in the first round. So, Utah.
I mean, that's kind of what we talked about at the beginning of the season. It's like with the shorter schedule, there's a smaller margin for error. And it's very unfortunate that they got off to the start they did, because now they're in a pretty big hole. And I the other teams in the West, they know there's not a margin for error either. They're not going to let up. I mean, it's every night's just going to be a little bit more intense during the regular season now, especially as we continue to go forward.
And let me say this. This shouldn't even have to be said, but I've seen some stuff online, and I just want to address it. If you think that Luka has anything to do with the Mavs struggle, or if you think that Luka needs to be doing more than he is right now to will his team to more wins, then you don't know as much about basketball as you think you do, because he was an all NBA first teamer last year. And by the advanced statistics, by the analytics, he is having a better season this year than he was last year. And I mean, anybody trying to pin this on Luka isn't watching these basketball games. So
no, they're either an Atlanta Hawks fan or they're
just miserable.
They're just and then there's the ones who are talking about Drummond and Gobert and all this stuff too. So we'll just, you know.
Well, and I mean, look, just for an example, like, okay, so last night Damian Lillard had another clutch finish to a game. He beat the Pelicans, and you know, Luka beat the Pelicans. Luka went for 46 and beat the Pelicans by 13 the other day. So I don't know how this came up, but anyway, the point is, you know, people are saying like, oh, well, Damian Lillard, he just goes out there and wins games for you. Luka needs to be doing that. I mean, it's not as simple as that. You go and look at that box score last night from the Blazers and Pelicans. Dame had five other teammates in double digits. Gary Trent hit 5 of 10 from three. And Melo and Covington, I think they only missed one three each. So you have to have help. Even as good as Dame is, I love Dame. He's one of my favorite players in the league. And he's super clutch. He's really good and everything. But you can't do it all by yourself. You know, he got help throughout that game. And then when it got to the fourth quarter, he hadn't had to do it all himself up to that point. And he had the energy, the stamina to go out there and do what he does best in the fourth quarter. So you can't just do it all by yourself and then expect, you know, 48 minutes of a guy being an all-world player. You have to have help. So there's my little rant for the day.
I think in a sense, it's a lot like the Dirk effect, or, you know, earlier in his career when he was having to do so much and they were so average, especially after Nash left. And like, there was kind of that gray area of people like questioning Dirk and his, you know, ability to be clutch, his ability in the playoffs and all that stuff. It's kind of the same thing here, or with like Peyton Manning. It's like, he's so statistically good, but then when, you know, he can't get you over the hump because he didn't have a lot of help.
Which is crazy, because Dirk was what, 25 at that time, 24, 25.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's people being impatient, not understanding that while basketball is probably the most star-driven league in sports, that doesn't mean that, you know, not everybody's going to be LeBron and take a terrible Cavs team to the finals. You know what I mean? Yeah. I mean, if Luka was in that Eastern Conference, he probably could do that.
Yeah.
But
Mavs,
he's not.
Mavs would be seventh in the East right now. The top seed in the East, which is the Sixers, they would be a half game ahead of the fifth seed in the West right now. So
it's a joke.
They need to do a reseeding. They need to do a playoff 1 through 16 and just do away with conference stuff, because it's, other than scheduling, you know, less travel and everything, I don't see what the advantage is of keeping conferences the way they are, other than tradition.
I mean, you know, it's I don't get it either. But going back to Dame, he's also probably the most clutch player in the NBA. Like, bar none. I don't think there's anybody you could say that's more clutch than him. So, I mean, yeah, the guy hit shots. He hit one against the Mavs the other night. And Luka had an opportunity to hit one and he missed one. But guess what? Jordan missed game winners too. Like, I think people have selective memory on stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, and
it's unfortunate. Especially this year too, because, you know, Dame, it'll eventually catch up. It'll even out. But to start this season, I think I saw I think it might have been Chuck Cooperstein that tweeted it out, that the Blazers, and this was before last night's game, so now they would be 12-3 this season in clutch games, and their offensive rating is through the roof when it gets to clutch time. So they've been on an absolute tear lately, and it's not just Dame. I mean, it's the entire team. They're playing well despite being down CJ McCollum and Yusuf Nurkic. So I don't know. I still think the Mavs will end up being fine. Luka will end up being fine. He's going to do his thing no matter what. I just really hope with Porzingis that it's more of a mental thing than it is physically. And I think it is, because just from watching him play, he's capable, in my opinion, to physically, you know, move over and help.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk. But it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
And his lateral movement just doesn't look like it's there right now, but I think it's more of a mental lapse than his actual, like, oh, he can't physically move that way. Right. I hope I'm right about that. If I am, you know, we'll start to see it here in the next few weeks and then on into the second part of the schedule. But if KP can get going, if they can just have that second guy who they know can get you 20 each night, It makes a world of difference from Luka and for Luka, and it makes a world of difference for the rest of the guys too. Because right now, some of these other guys are just having to play out of their their comfort zone, and it's really affecting them. So.
The economy is made up of real people doing real stuff, and it affects everything. Which you obviously know since you're a real person doing real stuff. Marketplace is here to help you get smart about everything beyond the what of the day's business and economic news. We dig into the how and the why with the real people driving our economy. From big tech and interest rates to small businesses and what's happening at the Fed, Marketplace breaks it all down so you don't have to. Listen to Marketplace wherever you get your podcasts.
Sugar Ray Leonard, Roberto Duran, Marvelous Marvin Hagler, and Thomas Hearns. Legends, whose four-way rivalry defined one of the greatest eras in boxing history. Relive their decade of dominance in the new Showtime sports documentary, The Kings, a four-part series premiering Sunday, June 6th, only on Showtime.
Yeah. But anyway, one bright spot for the Mavs here lately, Matt, and I said at the beginning we'd get into this, but they're rookies. You know, we were on record. We were very excited on draft night because it basically went the way we wanted it to. And I still think Josh Green has a ton of potential. I think he's going to be a really good player going forward. He just hasn't had the opportunity to showcase what he can do. And it's been a weird season. There wasn't summer league. There was a shortened preseason, a shortened training camp. And he's only played like 17 games this year, and it's been very limited minutes. So you can't shut the door on guys this early into their career. But we're going to see what Josh Green has, what he has to show when he plays in the G League here these next few weeks. But Tyler Bay and Tyrell Terry have completely scorched the G League so far. Tyrell Terry, you know, his shooting percentages aren't that great right now, but he's averaging 16 points, five rebounds, and almost three assists per game. And he showed, I don't know if you've seen most of the highlights from him, Matt, but when he shoots threes, it has a baby Steph Curry vibe to him. You know, it's just very effortless. He's got that little Curry step back deal. I don't know if it's like his physique, like he's a lighter built guy. So it just
probably something like that.
Yeah. I mean, it just aesthetically, it looks like Steph Curry doing stuff out there. So I'm glad he's gotten some run with the Memphis Hustle. He's gotten a lot more playing time than I thought he would. You know, you kind of worry about these guys going to other teams, G League affiliate teams, and like, oh, well, he's with the Mavs. We might not give him as much playing time, but he's done really well. But the guy that I've been most impressed with is Tyler Bay, and he's a guy that I think the Mavs could use right now. You know, I think as good as he is defensively, as long as he is, as bouncy as he is, I think he could be helping this Mavs team immediately. He's 6'9". He's averaging 16 points, almost eight rebounds per game. But the most impressive thing, he's shooting 56% from the field, and he hasn't shot a lot of threes, but he's shooting 50% on his threes that he has taken. So I really like what I've seen out of Bay. He brings energy. I was talking to our guy, Bobby Corrala, the other night, just about this transition for the rookies and everything. And we were talking about Bay, and the way he described Bay, he said it was like if Brandon Wright and Dorian Finney-Smith did the Dragon Ball Z fusion dance. And I was just like, you know what? I'll take that every day of the week. That's what the Mavs need right now. So,
yeah. I mean, I think if that was actually the case, he'd probably be getting a little bit more run with the varsity. I mean, he might have the traits. That's just, to me, that sounds like an NBA starter. Like, so, you know, I don't know. But, I mean, that sounds great to me. I'd love for them to have that. I just, I'm a little cautious with getting too optimistic about G League guys because –
And to be fair, you can finish your thought, but to be fair, I think he was just saying like, this is the prototype, you know, yeah. this is what he could be. It's not what he is now, but he's shown flashes of that's the kind of player he can be.
Yeah, that makes sense. But also, I have a hard time getting optimistic about G League guys because of Rick Carlisle, because I don't think that he's going to give them the look that they deserve.
Even that's if, fair. You know, that's completely fair.
Because Josh Reeves was the G League darling last year, and we all thought that he had great defensive tools and athleticism. And when he got to get on the court, you could kind of see it, you know. But I don't know that he's going to give Tyrell Terry or Tyler Bay the opportunity to get on the court. He's given Josh Green a couple of opportunities just based off necessity. And now that that necessity is gone, he's shipped him off to the G League. And I just, you know, I have a lot of big bones to pick with Rick Carlisle at the moment.
Yeah.
I won't get into a lot of them right now, but like in the instance of Bay or Green specifically, your big issue is defense. So why not play two guys who are going to play super, super hard on that end and be able to compete at least as a defender on your average NBA shooting guard or, you know, small forward or whatever, and let them get some run when, I mean, what else is, what, like,
what do you have to lose at this point?
Right.
The way things have gone.
Yeah. James Johnson's been fine up and down here and there. Like, he's kind of fallen off a little bit, in my opinion. Inject some youth into the lineup, man. Like, literally, like, okay, play Josh Green instead of Trey Burke.
Yeah.
You don't need to play Trey Burke next to Jalen Brunson ever again for the rest of time. It's stupid. It doesn't work.
Yeah, Trey Burke, I feel like, and I mean, I don't mean any disrespect to him whatsoever. He was great for the Mavs in the bubble when they desperately needed a guy like him with Brunson out. But he's played more this season like the guy the 76ers cut last year than the Trey we saw in the bubble. And he had that one flamethrower game against the Orlando Magic, and I kind of wonder if he used up his all of his magic in that one game against Orlando. And I don't know, man. I'm with you on that. I think some of these spare minutes need to be going to these younger guys who not just because, like you said, they need defense. And both Green and Bay are known as good defenders. And yeah, they're raw offensively, but they play really hard on that end. They make good things happen. You have a higher chance of getting a steal or a deflection or something, just disrupting the other team. And good things happen, you know, when players do that. So I don't know why they don't get a little bit more run, because usually that's the thing with Rick. It's like, okay, a young guy is not going to get playing time unless he like really gets after it on the defensive end. Because you remember when Dorian Finney-Smith was first signed, you know, he was basically just a camp invite, and then he showed what a dog he could be on the defensive end, and he ended up getting in favor with Rick, and they were playing him early on, even though, you know, his offense hadn't come together yet. Yeah, you remember there were times where fans were calling for Dorian Finney-Smith to get cut, and they wanted to add somebody else
in training camp.
Yeah, because he couldn't shoot. But Rick was playing him anyway because he was making a positive impact on the defensive end. So I don't know why that same rule can't apply to these guys, especially guys that, you know, you drafted Green at number 18, and then you drafted Bay as a part of that trade where you sent Seth Curry to Philly, who's killing it now, and you get back Josh Green and Bay, and, you know, not Josh Green, Josh Richardson and Bay. And Josh Richardson's kind of underperformed too. So if I'm the Mavs, I'm trying to make something out of Bay to salvage that Curry trade, because the Curry trade is looking bad right now.
Yeah, the Seth Curry thing sucks. It sucks because, I mean, he had an awesome game the other night. And every time you see him drain a three, you're like, man, I miss him.
He's on track, or he's very close to having a 50-50-100 season as far as efficiency goes. And that just doesn't – you know, 50-40-90 is already rarefied air. Yeah. And there he is giving you 50-50, 100.
Yeah. But, like, as far as Bay goes, whether what Bobby said is true or not, there's no reason he can't be the next Dorian Finney-Smith.
Yeah.
Like, give the guy a chance. He's obviously got the athletic tools to do that, at least. So just let it happen. Like,
and honestly, to me, you know, that was Bobby's response to what my eyes see. And again, I'm not saying that Bay is going to be this player, but just like physically how he's built and like how he plays the game, it gives you kind of a Sean Marion type of vibe. And he'll never be Sean Marion. I'm just saying, like, with how he plays, like the feel he gives, it kind of has a Sean Marion-esque vibe to it.
In the athleticism too. I mean, it's there. There's no reason not to have that kind of athlete on your roster. And instead you're trotting out, you know, Dwight Powell to run around for a few minutes and get hit in the face. And you're running out undersized Trey Burke. I mean, there's different ways to construct the second unit in your roster where Bay could slide in there or Green could slide in there and they can make an impact on the defensive end. It doesn't make sense that they're not. And that's Rick being old man coach, NBA stubborn, red Auerbach cigar, Rick Carlisle. And it's annoying. Yeah. And it's hurting them.
Yeah. And look, I don't think we're grasping for straws or anything either. Cause you've got national media guys like Tim McMahon. He tweeted out the other day, like, he's even noticed what Bay is doing in the G League, and he even wonders if he could get some actual rotation minutes for the Mavs this season as well as he played. So, I mean, it's not just us calling for it. There's a lot of people seeing what he's doing right now and thinking, like, man, this guy could be helpful. So, hopefully it trends in that direction and we can get a little bit more. Because, I mean, Green, he's had a couple opportunities. He hasn't had a lot. But he has had a couple opportunities to, you know, showcase what he's got. But, you know, Bay, he really hasn't gotten anything except for, you know, some throwaway minutes at the end. Like, say that early 50-point blowout of the Clippers that seems like eons ago. He got a little bit of, like, 2 minutes maybe in that game. But other than that, he really hasn't had the opportunity. So I really hope it works out. And I hope he can end up helping the Mavs sooner than later. And that would end up that, you know, I think Josh Richardson will be better than what he's been so far. It's kind of trended that way the last 5-6 games. But if Bay turns out to be just a rotational player, if he, like you said, if he can just be kind of what Dorian Finney-Smith is, even that makes that trade a win. It makes it look better, at least.
Well, it's not even that. If he's 3/4 of what Dorian is, it's a win. Or half of what Dorian, because Dorian's a really good defender.
Just a helpful player.
Yeah. If he just contributes defensively to a team that is struggling big time in that area, it's a win.
Yeah.
I mean, he could, before Dwight Powell got hurt, he was a good player. We were frustrated with him. We yelled about him, but he was a good player. He was an impactful player.
Yeah, he wasn't perfect, but he was good. Yeah,
he was a throw in with Rondo. But he was the better thing that came out of that deal. I'm not saying Josh Richardson to Rondo by any means. Don't get that twisted. But there's no reason that Bay shouldn't get an opportunity to have the same chance that Dwight Powell had when he came here from that trade, or that Dorian had when he came into camp. Just the fact that Rick doesn't give these young kids opportunities to succeed early enough, it bothers me to no end.
Well, and that's a good point you bring up about Dwight Powell, because I think if we want to be optimistic about it, I think that's one thing you can look at and be optimistic, because the way that Rondo trade went, I don't know that the Mavs, I don't know that they thought that Powell would develop into what he did before the injury. Cause like you said, he wasn't a perfect player, but he was very good. He was an elite role man, finishing lobs and everything like that. So I don't know that they saw him turning into that kind of player at the time they traded for Rondo. But I think the way the Rondo trade went, it kind of made the Mavs front office a little hard-headed. Like, okay, we are going to salvage this as much as we possibly can. So they were kind of bullish on Dwight Powell until he kind of, you know, he turned into a serviceable player. So I'm hoping they take the same approach with Bay. And again, like you said, I mean, we're not saying Richardson is Rondo. I mean, I think Richardson will eventually get it together and he'll be, you know, a lot better in the second half of this season. But
sure.
I do think as good as Curry has been, the way that trade looks right now, I wouldn't be shocked if the Mavs front office was like, okay, let's kind of push the envelope with Bay here and kind of make this look better. So we'll see how it goes.
I think one thing that's getting lost on people also is I really don't want to use this as an excuse, but it's true. I think when you make that much of a roster turnover to key positions and basically the entire fabric of your roster has shifted, like bringing in Josh Richardson, shipping out Seth Curry, playing James Johnson, Willie Cauley-Stein getting, you know, just things, they haven't had continuity with their roster and from year to year and in quite a while. And this past summer, they made a lot of changes that made a difference. You know, JJ Barea is gone, this, that, and the other. It takes time for all of these pieces to fit in together and play with chemistry. I mean, 27 games is a lot, or 28 games, whatever it is. But I still think they need more time to figure out how to play together.
Yeah.
Like all the COVID stuff, all the injuries, it's been so up and down for the roster the whole way. The only constant thing has been Luka. The only constant thing. Everything else has been out of whack and all over the place. So I think that the general fan needs to kind of take a step back and be like, all right, we can see what this looks like after the All-Star break and as we approach the trade deadline. But like right now, I think they just need more time. And yeah, I know I mentioned a trade earlier, and I still think that's something they could possibly need.
I think they definitely do. I mean, I agree with you that the team needs more time to gel, because the way things have gone and it already being a weird season anyway, where they didn't have a normal training camp, preseason, all that stuff. The season started a whole lot sooner than it usually does because they wanted to rush to the NBA wanted to try to save as much revenue as they could heading into this season. So it hasn't been your typical year all around. And that was even before the team lost four key guys to COVID for a little over two weeks. So I agree. Yeah. They do have to gel a little bit better, and getting over COVID's hard. You know, I got it, and post COVID was worse for me than actual COVID. You know, I felt cruddy for a few days when I had it, but the lingering effects for the next 2, 3, 4 weeks, it was pretty bad. I'm not saying that these guys are experiencing the same stuff I did. I just know from experience that it can be, you know, the after effects can be just as bad, if not worse, than what you actually feel when you have it. So there could be days where these guys feel perfectly fine. Josh Richardson might have a good game. He feels good and everything. There might be a day where he's sluggish and he's having some post-COVID effects. And I think it's affected Maxey more than anything. I don't know that for sure, but it sure does feel like it watching him. And I really hope he does get back to the defensive, what's the word, the brick wall that he used to be. Because nobody would score on Maxey at the rim. And, you know, lately, he had Carmelo Anthony drive past him for a dunk the other night. That's not Maxey. That is not Maxey Kleba. So I really hope he does get back to where he needs to be, but we'll see how it goes. I'm optimistic about this end of the first half schedule. I think they'll do well. I do expect them to be at or at least a game above 500 before it's over, just based on other team situations with injuries and who they have left to play. But hopefully they do get there before the end of this first half schedule, because I haven't shaved in like 3 weeks, and I haven't got a haircut either. That's a mess. I really need to shave, Matt. So I don't know if you're doing the 500 beard thing too, but it's getting a little out of control.
I always have a beard because I look like a fat baby if I don't. So
yeah, I haven't like fully been clean shaven in probably 3 years. And I mentioned it to my wife. I was like, as soon as the Mavs get back to 500, I'm shaving. And even she was just kind of like, I don't know. I don't know if you need to do that. So we'll see how it goes.
At least give it a nice trim.
Yeah. At the very least, I'm going to trim it real good. So,
yeah.
But yeah, that's going to do it for another episode of the Mavs Step Back Podcast. Guys, we appreciate y'all coming in every week and giving us a listen. And we're going to try to do, you know, more YouTube stuff. If we're going to record, you know, Matt, we might as well do this a little bit more often and just put it up on YouTube just so we actually have some content to promote, because we're getting closer to that 1,000 subscriber mark. I think there's about 250 spots left. So if you're in our first 1,000 subscribers on YouTube, you'll have a chance to win 2 tickets to the Mavs home game of your choice. Once it becomes a regular thing again for fans attending games, they're slowly but surely letting people back in. So if you're not on that train yet, be sure to get on. Like I said, there's about 250 spots left. So go subscribe on YouTube and leave us a rating on Apple Podcasts if that's where you listen to. But guys, we appreciate it. Hope you have a great rest of the week and the great weekend. And we'll see if the Mavs play the Rockets tomorrow. And if something else happens that warrants an emergency podcast, we'll see you again. But y'all have a good one.
Let me step back for a minute. Let me step back for a minute. Let me step back for a minute. Let me step back for a minute.
Sugar Ray Leonard, Roberto Duran, Marvelous Marvin Hagler, and Thomas Hearns. Legends, whose four-way rivalry defined one of the greatest eras in boxing history. Relive their decade of dominance in the new Showtime sports documentary, The Kings, a four-part series premiering Sunday, June 6th, only on Showtime.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.